If you ever go to seminary, there is a study called Christology. It's literally, it means study of Christ. And I know a lot of you know that, but a lot of people also don't know is that Christ is not a name. It is a title. It means anointed. And when we say Christ with the capital C, then we translate that with the capital A, anointed. In a way, it means Messiah, Savior. What's important in here is actually a two-folded, is that one, there is a definite connection to the God who reveals himself or herself in the Old Testament, and supposedly that God is the Creator. The Creator has something to do with the Christ. And the Messiah, Savior, connects to our relationship, what this person would or could, might have done for us. So, in the Gospels, there are five things that this study of Christ, Christology, takes the most significant. First, baptism. You know, when Jesus was baptized, something special happened. And second, transfiguration. In here, if you read Exodus, you may see quite similarity. The voice of God, the cloud, the mountain, somewhat similarity. And then there's crucifixion, which is very unique, actually. And the resurrection, even more unique. And then ascension. So first two connect nature and identity of Jesus very close to the Old Testament, God in the Old Testament. Next three kind of expresses that he is somebody who is very, very special. Died, came back to life, and ascended into heaven. People saw it. Why is it so important? There's a question. So I'll give you three questions to work on it. I am sure it may take the remaining lifetime you may have to find all the answers. One, what kind of God do you believe? I have asked this question quite a few times. Meaning, what's the nature characteristic of the God you believe? What is it, she? Is it he? If it's a he, what does he like? What does he ask you to do? Two, how on earth did you come to believe in that God? Who taught you? Or did you see God? Did you meet God personally? Is it God concept, faith, belief, the Bible, the church? How on earth did you come into finding and believing that particular concept of God? And it goes to, as you may expect, the most challenging question. Why? Why would you like to do all that? So I'll let you meditate upon these three questions. And as I told you, all the ministers, even theologians, biblical scholars, saints, they're all struggling with these questions, either one or two or all of them. Sometimes it gets really clear. The next moment, everything goes away and you feel like you know nothing about it. That's kind of the nature of this inquiry and journey. So, I give you those three questions, and let us think about it. That's my first talk. So, you find all your answers? Should I pass out pen and paper? You know, whenever I do a memorial service, or we call it the celebration of life service, I get to hear this almost all the time. that even sometimes husband or wife or children or friends whom they have known that person 30, 40, 50, 60, sometimes 80 years, saying that, I did not know that she or he was like that. They find a new aspect of that person on that day by listening to somebody else's sharing. In a way of saying, you have a human being right in front of you. You can ask all the questions. He or she can answer all your questions. Do you know everything about that person? Or even, do you really know that person? Well, there is also one of the books that fascinated my mind. I think I was in college. It was a book written by a French novelist. First name is Bernard, and last name, I don't know how to pronounce in English, Werber or Bernard in Korean French style pronunciation. Empire of Ant. It's about Ant. He somehow created this. He sees everything in the perspective of ants, and these ants are finally kind of marching out and exploring new territory, the dangerous territory that nobody should go there. And reports are coming back all the way that there's this huge pink-looking five pillars appearing in the heavens suddenly and kill them all. And they spent long time to figure out what that is. You know? Pink-looking five pillars, which is attached to another huge, round-shaped thing that appears out of heaven and smashed them. And it took quite a while longer to understand that the hand actually is belonging to a living figure called the human. So why am I saying this to you? I have read, I don't know, maybe 16 or 20 different versions of theology that describe God. All were very confident that they know God. They try to describe nature and characteristics of God very logically and rationally. So amazing to me. We somehow believe that, have a tendency, if we can describe something logically and rationally, that has to be true. Is that so? Is that really so? We even challenge that if we describe God in A and B and C, God has to be A and B and C. He cannot be D and E and F. No. God has to be A, B, C, and even has to come in exact sequence of that. If you read Old Testament, interesting thing about God is that God doesn't really tell the people to believe me, because God has no name, no image. What God is telling them, in a way, if you really listen carefully, is that don't believe in idols that are made by human hands. In a way of saying, try not to believe something that you have made to be God, and you worship that. And that's self-worshipping. It's a dangerous thing. Instead, there is true God, the creator of all, whose image cannot be made, whose name cannot be named, whose nature cannot be described. Kind of unfair. Yet, in a way, so true. So in this transfiguration story, you see these three disciples somehow following Jesus to the mountain. And suddenly Jesus turns into somebody else with all the light shining, looks different. And suddenly there's Moses and Elijah appearing. Do you think they saw that in their own physical eyes? Or do you think they saw that their spirit is lifted up or their spiritual eyes opened? Mountain is an image that is used well in the Bible when you are elevated into some other state of being. Moses was supposedly went up to this mountain and stayed there 40 days and 40 nights and had this tablet. So, but at the end of the conversation, God says, you know what? These people are so wicked. They just made a calf out of gold and worshiping that. Go down and fix it. He comes down. He gets so angry, he smashed the tablet. Well, then God orders him to make actually ark of oud, and he cuts another two stone tablets and go back to the mountain and stay 40 days and 40 nights again. Actually, a total of 80 days and 80 nights. And he still survives. The meaning is when you meet God, you have to be elevated. That same is, it's very common in all Old Testament, New Testament, or even other religions. Like in Korean legend and mythology, you want to meet these celestial beings, you go to mountain. Deeper into the mountain where no human being ever been there, you may have a better chance to find them. Two things we say. We have to be elevated. Somehow, meeting God, we have to take our human part somehow lower or out of the consciousness. So, these three gentlemen saw this, witnessed this wonderful thing. And Peter saying, Lord, let's stay here. That's so good. Which was not possible. In a way of saying, we all experience these things that we feel this. You know, I was asking the children about what was the best part of your Sunday school in the past. Can't remember a single thing. You know why? Their joy is in the future. You only remember things that you have strong emotional attachment. Joy, actually, fear is the strongest emotion. Whatever you're afraid of, you remember that. Whatever you enjoy that the most, you remember that. Whatever that made you really sad, you remember that. So, I believe you have many joys in your heart. And when you feel like, I'm sure you had that moment, or per day or two, it feels perfect. You know, there is a saying that in Korea, a long time ago, their wishes is like that, every day should be like the August Moon Moon Festival. You know why? That's about the time all the villagers gather their harvest. And they're cooking the food with the plenty and sharing it to everybody. Why? They have gathered everything in their barns filled. Day is not too cold yet. It's not too hot now. The autumn weather was perfect in Korea. So weather's perfect. There's plenty of food. Everybody's happy. They're willing to share. Why? Because they have a lot. So every day should be like the August Full Moon Festival. But it's only one day out of 365 days. And most likely, after that, it's the downhill. The winter comes in. And the food gets more and more scarce. And they have to endure very severe winter. You see this very symbolic, correspondential image in here? Transfiguration, glorious moment. What happens afterward? It goes all the way down to the crucifixion. Even the betrayal of one of his disciples. So what the Bible really tells us, in my understanding, is not just about God. It's about our life story too. We go ups and downs. We go glorious moments to the downside. But the crucifixion is not the end of the story. There's a resurrection. There is ascension. There is promise. There is hope. So, I'll ask you that question again. I hope you really think about that. Because as I told you, there are at least 6, probably 10 major ways to describe about who Jesus Christ should be. And these are all based on human logic and human rationality. They're amazingly confident about how God should be. I don't really know they really talked to God and interviewed God. But I think they didn't. But somehow, using their own logic and historical basis of some evidence they gathered, they create an image of God and say, this is how God should be. Instead, what I read in the Bible is God can be experienced by each person. So you should be able to ask, seek, and find God. But there are certain elements you have to have in your mind. If this God is not a loving God, you have to ask question. Because essence of God is love. God loves people. God loves you. God doesn't want you to do anything but loving actions. Because anything else actually hurts and damages your soul. Only the loving actions actually brings blessings and benefits and joys your soul. So if the God you find in your journey tells you, take your revenge, that's not really God. That's another part of your mind trying to be the wishmaster. You have to move on. But this God you need to find, you need to ask, you need to experience. And if I'm not mistaken, it's all written here. That's all possible. Because the Bible story begins with Abraham, where God talks to an individual in a very friendly basis. Let there be blessings upon all of you. In your journey, again, asking, seeking, finding your God. Amen.